It's the Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. Thank you for staying up even later with us. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio in the historic Tribune Tower on the Magnificent Mile here in Chicago, where it is chilly and cold and there is snow on the ground. Joining us via Skype right now from the Middle East, from Tehran, is Ali Hashem. You can follow him on Twitter at AliHashem_TV. And hey, Ali, how are you this morning?
Good morning.
How are you? Ali, is it Hashem?
Hashem, that's right.
Hashem. How are you, sir? Thank you so much for jumping on with us. We do appreciate it.
My pleasure, sir. So,
Ali, let me ask you first about Saudi Arabia. We've heard the stories this week, and I read a story just online yesterday about the 200 or 208 people that have been detained for questioning, including some of the richest people in the country. This corruption crackdown, is this truly about corruption, or is it about restricting power and keeping power for the royal family?
Well, you know, among those 200 and something who were arrested, there were several prominent princes who are thought to be threatening Mr. bin Salman, who's the Saudi crown prince, who might be seen as a threat to Mr. bin Salman's ambitions to become the next king of Saudi Arabia. You know, he's a 32 years old or 33 years old prince who came directly from, you know, he was in the backstages, and then he appeared and became the defense minister after his father became the king. And right now he's the crown prince after his other cousin gave up or resigned, if it's right to say. His cousin resigned, and then he became the first crown prince. Today, what we are seeing in Saudi Arabia is was given a title as anti-corruption campaign, but mainly it's a campaign to solidify Mr. Mohammed bin Salman's position to become the next king. Now, all those who were potential candidates to become maybe a crown prince or to have a big role in the next stage with respect to Saudi Arabia's future are sidelined, and he is the only strong person alongside with his brothers. And this is a new shift with respect to the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, because in the past, it used to be the king, the sons of Abdulaziz, who was the founder of the kingdom. Yet after all the sons of Abdulaziz, the last one right now is King Salman, there is a need to change and go towards the grandsons, and you know, to find a way or a process, whereas the throne is exchanged through the grandsons. It's quite complicated and quite difficult. So the best thing I believe Mr. bin Salman was thinking of is just shifting the throne from the family of Saud to his father's sons. So he will be the next king, and then maybe his brother will be the next crown prince. And so it's not anymore about Abdulaziz's sons, who's the founder, rather about Salman's sons, who is right now the king.
And do the founder's grandsons want to claim the throne? Were they trying to jockey for position to get the throne back to their line?
Well, this could have been a matter of question maybe after the death of King Salman, because when the king is going to die, or when he's going to give the throne to his son, Mohammed bin Salman, there will be a battle for who will be the crown prince, because Mohammed bin Salman will have to choose among many others and many other strong candidates to be his own crown prince. Certainly this choice will be through what they call the commission of allegiance, or we call it in Arabic Hayat al-Bay'ah, which means there'll be a group of elderly who are going to choose the next crown prince. Yet Mohammed bin Salman will have a say in this. So Whereas all those strong candidates aren't anymore in the picture, then he will have an easier choice to take because he will be the man in control. So this is an issue for the future, and so it's not an issue for today. But the, another important thing is that all those billionaires of the kingdom were also arrested. We are talking about a number of people who own more than $100-$200 billion. Al-Walid bin Talal, who's well-known in the West, who's well-known in the States, he's a big businessman. He's also a prince, was one of those arrested. Mr. Bin Laden, who is the brother of Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda's notorious leader, was also among those arrested because he's another billionaire in Saudi Arabia and he's an owner of a very big construction company. The three most, the three heads and founders of the three Saudi networks, TV networks, were also arrested. One of them is Walid bin Talal, the second is Walid Ibrahim, and the third is Saleh Al-Kamil. So everyone, almost everyone who is influential in the kingdom was arrested during the last week.
And so while this is aligning the prince's interests, what do you make of the billionaires being arrested? And, you know, I read that accounts have been frozen. What happens to them? Will this sort of be a question and release and more of a, I'm taking control and you better mind what you're doing? Or will they try to strip away their finances or decrease their power within the kingdom?
Well, what's happening right now is that all the companies are going to, this is what's analysts are saying, most of this money is going to turn back to the Saudi government. So the Saudi government will have control over all this, all these wealths. I mean, hundreds of billions of dollars. There are also people who had their money confiscated. Mr. Mohammed bin Naif, who was the previous crown prince, his money were also, his accounts were freezed. The sons of Prince Salman, who was Sultan, I mean, who was the previous crown prince also, he was before a crown prince, is the father of Bandar bin Sultan, who used to be the ambassador to the United States. And according to a report yesterday by David Hurst for the Middle East Eye, Bandar bin Sultan is among those who are arrested, yet his name did not appear in public. So all those people's money is being freezed, and the money are going to be transferred to the Saudi government because these people, according to the government, are corrupted. So, yes, the government is going to make use of this money, and this will be maybe the way the next king or today's crown prince will be able to pave his way smoothly and slowly towards the throne.
While these people have been arrested, you believe that they will be stripped of their money, that these people who are maybe have up to $100 billion, that will be taken from them under the guise of corruption, whether it's truly something that is true or not?
Well, that is corruption, but it's not about, but the whole thing is not about corruption. The whole thing is about politics, because corruption is not only within those people. Corruption is something that, is all over the royal family. And this is something, well reported. But the issue is that there is, if we can call, a kind of a picky criteria. There is a criteria that is based on the crown prince's own ambitions and who poses threat on his future. This is how corruption is being used to pave his way.
Yeah. Well, so if you were living in Saudi Arabia and you had $1 billion, and maybe you still had the $1 billion, you weren't arrested, I would think that this would put a chill on the economy of Saudi Arabia, because if I were rich and owned a construction company, or I had money and it was liquid, I would get it out of Saudi Arabia right now. I would get it away from a place where it could be confiscated from me, or maybe get myself out of Saudi Arabia if the threat of this was lingering out there like it appears it is. I would imagine if they release any of these people and they get to keep their money, would they profess loyalty and stay, or would they get the heck out of Dodge and not take a chance on a ruler who decides that, no, you've got too much and you have the possibility of power, so I'm going to strip you of that?
Well, there is a very big challenge that's going to face the government of Saudi Arabia in the near future. Investors won't be really easy at putting their money in Saudi Arabia anymore, because such acts always threatens those capitals. So, and there's, according to some reports, before this campaign, there were, quite a big number of dollars, millions of dollars, that were taken outside the country through private jets. And that's why the first thing that was done when they decided to arrest these princes and those billionaires was to close the airport. That's the where the private planes and the private jets are based, and not to allow any private jet to leave the country. So this is one of the measures to stop these money from getting out. Yet in the future, the big question will be, will other companies come back to Saudi Arabia and invest? Will Western companies have, the feeling of security to put their money inside the kingdom? This is a question that needs to be answered by the government of Saudi Arabia, and these concerns should be in a way or another comforted by certain measures that will secure that other capitals won't be seized or freezed.
Our President Trump tweeted support for the prince and says he knows what he's doing. Is there going to be a chilling effect on relations with other countries, and how does this affect Saudi Arabia's partnership or help with the general war on terror?
Well, with respect to the war on terror, there is a big a question in this regard, because in Iraq, in Syria, there are accusations to Saudi Arabia, or at least to some in Saudi Arabia, of backing some of these terrorist groups. Now, these are not confirmed accusations, yet they do exist. Even Mr. Trump, during his own presidential campaign, he accused the Saudis directly of being behind Daesh, behind ISIS. So this is another issue. With respect to Mr. Trump's support of the kingdom and King Salman and his son, Mohammed bin Salman, this might be a green light to them to continue in their own policies with respect to Saudi Arabia inside, and also with respect to the region. And today there is a very big problem in the region. There's a very big crisis with respect to the Lebanese prime minister, who was taken to Saudi Arabia. He was summoned to Saudi Arabia, and according to also reports, he was forced to resign. And this is unprecedented. This never happened in recent history. A prime minister of another sovereign country summoned to resign from the other country, from Saudi Arabia. He appeared on Saudi television, and he read the letter of resignation, and he is not allowed to come back to his country. The president of Lebanon is calling on the release of his prime minister. The French foreign minister met Mr. Hariri and said that Mr. Hariri is free to move, yet he's only free to move inside Saudi Arabia. This is just getting worse and worse. And the American, let me say, Mr. Trump's backing of Saudi Arabia is encouraging them to continue this way. Yesterday, mm-hmm. Mr. Tillerson's statement was quite good, because he was keen at stressing the importance of not going to more crises in the region to control the situation. Yet, on the other side, White House is giving the House of Saud more encouragement to continue. And many are are afraid and concerned in the region that such moves might lead us to a regional war, and a regional war between the two main countries here, Iran and Saudi Arabia, might, you know, no one knows how it would end.
Yeah. Let me, real quick, we were almost out of time here, Ali. With the changing of fuel and the nature of the way we're consuming energy in the world, with the increasing explosion of solar and wind and other forms of energy, how is that affecting the kingdom? Oil prices have dropped pretty precipitously over the last year. Is there concern about the future of the kingdom because of oil?
There are several measures that were taken in the past to lessen the dependence on oil, yet still the kingdom depends around 80% on oil. Now, with respect to the prices and the prices deterioration in this way, maybe the crisis is raising the prices once again. This is
right.
This is playing good for them for now. Yet on the long term, there is the question that you ask with respect to solar, with respect to other types of energies. This challenge isn't an easy challenge, especially that maybe all the numbers give us like 20 or 30 years more for the last reserves of oil that are in the kingdom, or even in Iran or the Persian Gulf countries. So the kingdom would have to make moves in this regard to change its economic dependency on other issues, maybe on technology, on agriculture, but not anymore on oil.
Yeah. Ali Hashem is a reporter in the Middle East. He's in Tehran right now, former Tehran bureau chief for the Arab News Network, Al Mayadeen, former reporter for Al Jazeera and the BBC. Fascinating discussion this morning. Thank you so much for jumping on with us, Ali.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for having me on the program.
Absolutely, sir. I hope we talk again. Just make sure you get his information. We'd love to check in with him from time to time and see what's going on in the Middle East.